Okay. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Yeah, so I got the two confused, Alan. This is hour two, and we're in hour one of, what the heck month is it again? We're in May? Oh, yeah, Cinco de Mayo, Texas Independence. No, in hour one, we talked with Frankie Nieto of Republic of Texas, and they're having a thing on in Kerrville next Saturday, and last week I confused Anna Von Reich with Desi Andrews, right, who, I don't know. Go back in the archive if you want to figure it out. Anyways, it should be a good show over in Kerrville. What did you think? Anything, I guess we could go on a few different rabbit trails from that conversation last half hour, Alan.
I just don't have a whole lot of faith in, the political process, being our savior. Unfortunately, I applaud these guys. They're trying to do something. They're trying to change something, make people aware of what's going on, which, any avenue that does that, I agree with. Do I have to agree with their methods or anything? Well, sometimes it's, kind of pointless in my opinion, a lot of things that go on, because, Steve, there always comes a time when it has to go from words to action, whether it's the Gilets Jaunes in the streets of France or whatever, the only way that anything gets any attention and gets the attention of the people out there is by making something uncomfortable for them. People can't get around Paris. Tourism's down, yada, yada. It has to create hardships to get those fence walkers to, finally decide, one side or the other.
Yeah, definitely. But the fence walkers are really comfortable right now. I guess that's what I see out there. Hey, we've got Mike in Kentucky. He's been hanging on for a few minutes here. So let's go see what he has to say. Hey, Mike in Kentucky, are you there?
Yeah. I was going to ask that guy. He was talking about the the woman that is a Texian. What did he call her?
Texian. It's a
declared
term for declared Texian, yes.
So there's people that are doing that. I just wonder how they're doing it, because there's a principle called notice to the agent is notice to the principal, meaning that, and from what I followed way back in the, 94, 95 era, I went to a couple of things in Lexington on the concept of called cancellatura. And what you were doing is canceling any and all implied contracts from your participation or being lured into the, U.S. citizenship as opposed to your state citizenship. And I just wondered if these people that are declaring themselves to be full-on Republic of Texians, if they are notifying the Secretary of State in the state of Texas, as well as the United States, and other public officials, which is what I've heard
I can answer that question for you. No. The question is no. It's not a process that the declared Texian goes through.
That's something to look at.
Well, part of the Republic of... It is, right? And some of them have done similar things. There's a lot of different, thoughts. But basically, the Republic of Texas recognizes Texas independence as it exists. It came out of abatement. The Republic of Texas reformed, according to the Republic of Texas, in 2005. And to declare yourself a Texian, one only needs to say, my name is Steve O'Brien and I am a Texian, right? And I live here in Texas, right? And you're only making a declaration to the Republic of Texas. You're not saying nanny boo-boo, I don't have your Social Security number anymore, go screw you, right? But there could be a method in there, and then they've argued long and arduously, you know, that there should be and so forth, and it'll put you to sleep, Mike. You know, seriously, the arguments get long when you start talking about.
If you're going to get recognition of any, like, say, for instance, with the current junk that's going on in Venezuela, that's what, you know, the media is trying to convince us that 50-some countries, which are also underneath the thumb of the International Monetary Fund, are recognizing this other government in Venezuela, the leader that the U.S. is pushing for. And it's a process that happens all around the world where, you know, regime change happens, is that, you know, the transitional government or whatever gets recognized internationally. And for that to happen, you're going to have people that have declared themselves one and not the other, I think. You know, there's stories of attempts of this happening. It's a tourist trap in Australia where a guy, I think, actually declared his ranch to be outside of the Australia, an independent enclave, and he issued postage stamps and coins and stuff, and it's kind of a tourist trap now. It doesn't have anything other than that, you know. Rick Perry or some previous governor in the last 15 years or so threatened not to renew the treaty of the, and that happens every so often, as I understand it, that they threaten to not renew the treaty with the United States. You know, at that state of level.
Texas. I can't remember that per se. The governors say all sorts of things, but it's all just, you know, just like passing wind. You know, they for the most part, Texas independence is slowly growing, and there is a lot of support for it within the House and the Senate of Texas. The actual, you know, corporate United States of America. Some of it is declared and some of it is undeclared. You know, it's just the way it is. But we still have, like Frankie said, a lot of sleepy people that are enamored with the state of being right now of us versus them. We're with the Don, and Pelosi's crazy with, you know, all these other folks behind her. So they're I don't know, Mike. We're still in this lull, you know, lull before a storm. You know,
maybe draw some parallels with Kentucky is why I'm getting that, because the Confederate government of Kentucky and, well, the government before the North invaded had two parallel resolutions saying that Kentucky was going to remain neutral. They wasn't going to take sides. Unless, and that was the intent of the legislature, unless the North invaded. And so what the North did, you know, they placed cannons all along the Ohio River, and they infiltrated and created units of Northern sympathizer Union troops inside of Kentucky so they could claim that they didn't invade. That's what I think they were trying to do there, but when the government fell apart in Frankfort, the Confederate government tried to occupy Frankfort for a while and then moved to Russellville and then got ran out of Russellville. That's why there's a bunch of Confederates that are called the Orphan Brigade before Kentucky was actually admitted to the Confederate States of America, CSA. It's considered the 13th star by many people on the battle flag. But same sort of thing could happen in Texas. In other words, what I'm saying, you know, if they want to be independent, they're going to first have to declare that they're not part of Mexico or the United States. And I think that would have to happen from the citizen level. You're going to have a whole body politic. You have to have a whole body politic to vote for people, you know, to vote for the leaders, starting from the local leaders on up. And one of the things that has to happen there is that you have to declare you're not a U.S. citizen. Otherwise, you're just going to be subject to all the rules of the... That's what judges will tell people in court. Oh, well, you're a U.S. citizen. You're subject to all the rules that we say you are. So, if you know, and you see that on a day-to-day basis when Mexicans get pulled over and they're not a U.S. citizen and they don't have a driver's license in America. For years, before the scanners went digital, the police frequencies get digital. Every month or two, you'd hear some guy get pulled over, and he can't speak English, and the dispatcher just says, you just have to let him go, because he's not a U.S. citizen, not subject to all the same rules, and if there's no injured party, there's no case. So, if he didn't run a red light, or he didn't, you know, he wasn't speeding, or whatever, they don't say over the radio why they pulled him over, they're just checking their ID, or whatever, and he's got a Mexican driver's license.
And unfortunately, Mike, you can declare all you want, but then you have the problem because the guys in power are, when you have people like Bolton and Pompeo and all these other wonderful people up there that have their fingers on the buttons of the big guns, declaring anything doesn't really get that much done.
Infrastructure ready. That's like a lot of people say, the original United States is still sitting there. It's just not, it's being occupied. You know, when they declared the Union was dissolved, that was all on, it was based on fraud because they still had a quorum. Just because seven senators and their representatives from seven states walked out, that did not dissolve the Union. But what they did, you know, the media was controlled. Just like Solzhenitsyn said, the reason you don't know about a lot of stuff that happened with the Bolsheviks killing Christians is because the media is in the hands of the perpetrators. And so that happened with the war between the states, I think. They declared the Union dissolved, and it wasn't really dissolved. It's still sitting there. I think the Republic of Texas is still sitting there. That's why, you know, Rick Perry or somebody can make a little headlines, you know, bucking something at the federal government once by threatening not to renew the treaty. But the movement that you guys are talking about, if you had actually, you know, a bunch of people that had declared themselves not to be U.S. citizens, you know, they could move against them individually. As the old saying goes, we got to hang together, we all hang separate. And this, I think it could be done mostly with paper, and have it at the ready, because the federal government's obviously not sustainable. It's just going to have to take, all it's going to take, I think Mike Rivero talks about this, all it's going to have to take is for a bunch of the holders of treasury bills, be it France or Germany or Belgium or whoever, to say, we're not buying anymore, you know, and then it all collapses. And there's a house of, I mean, they can't find 21 trillion or something at the Pentagon. They can't find 4.5 trillion at HUD. There's an MSU professor from Michigan that says this is an existential threat to the country. And they're not.
But how far and wide does that information actually go out? You know, like I said, I've got it recorded where, you know, the Pentagon spokesman, you know, a couple of years back comes out and says, yeah, we're missing 6.5 trillion from the Pentagon budget we can't account for. And I'll tell you what, my sphincter puckered up real hard at that point in time, because I remember the last time I heard someone from the Pentagon get up and say, we're missing $2.3 trillion missing. The next day, all hell broke loose.
Right. And this audit that they failed was barely covered in the media last fall. But now you can go get James Corbett, whatever you think of him. I think in some ways James Corbett is a bit of a gatekeeper, because he doesn't really talk about, he talks about fascism. He won't talk about communitarianism, which is the third way plans to harmonize so many laws around the world that borders are irrelevant. You know, you can have the Republic of Texas, but if, you know, borders become irrelevant to the point when they almost already are with all these mega international corporations that have hijacked so much of the regulatory agencies of government that, you know, and there's even articles about it on Wikipedia. It's not a big secret. Regulatory capture, I think, is what it's called.
Our friend Lark, you know, out there, you brought communitarianism up. You know, that's, I don't know if, you know, I don't even know if that covers all of it. You know, the communitarianism, there's technocracy, there's all these different isms that are involved in this, and what can you call it? But globalism is about, you know, an encompassing term, as far as I can figure out. It's because it's, you know, you can trying to pin a name to what they're doing to us is kind of hard because there are so many different avenues. I mean, they're coming at us from every way.
So you've got the Republic of Texas sitting here. The U.S. government collapses, and all the corporations go, oh, ha, Republic of Texas, okay, do what you want. We don't care. We're going to keep doing what we want. You know, you can't get them to make any deals with the government because they're too big. They've got too many people that are paying to have all their privacy monetized.
Yeah,
just everything.
Yeah,
you do.
Monetized. Yeah, we are the product. You know, if you're not paying for it, you are the product.
So you know, these mega entities, be it the phones or the drug companies or whatever, they can just kind of snicker about it and say, well, you know, we don't care. You can try to regulate us all we want, but how many of these sport utility vehicles come into the country with enough car fentanyl in the back to kill whatever they say 19 million Americans? Mm. How many of those do we have to see before the D.C. government goes, okay, that's it, they're making too much and they won't stop, let's blow up the factory, like the movie Clear and Present Danger? This is obviously chemical warfare. It's obviously a clear and present danger to the United States because we've just about lost an entire generation through Whitey country. If you look at the heat maps, it basically goes from Maine down through Kentucky and across the Bible Belt and northern California, the West Coast, and over and down into Florida. You know, the worst parts of the epidemic of this drug, opioid pandemic, it's in mostly white country. I mean, it's not paranoid.
Well, yeah. Hey, so, Mike, I'm going to move us on down the road.
Okay.
I've got another guest here that I got to get to. And
all right.
But appreciate the call. That's a very interesting.
Well,
very
have
interesting
a great
what
one.
You bring up.
All
okay.
Right.
Thank you. For the third week in a row, we're going to go to the phone lines and see if we can get a hold of Susan Danzler. Susan, are you there?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Wow, this is great. How are you?
It's a miracle.
I'm fine. Yeah, I know. Well, it's just perfect timing, I guess. You know, it's a good day to have you on. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, sure. No problem at all.
Mm. So we're hot and heavy in Texas independence today. You know, we were just talking about different paths to Texas independence, and you know, we had Frankie Nieto on from the Republic of Texas, and he was telling us about, you know, what they're doing in Kerrville, and then the next month they're going to be going over to Johnson City. But we talked about the United States of America as opposed to, like, let's say, Spain and Catalonia, and how Catalonia and Spain have two distinct borders, and, you know, the separation of Catalonia, it just seems like it's only inevitable, right, that Catalonia is going to get its freedom. In my opinion, my view, I don't think Alan shares that opinion. I think what do you believe? Do you believe that Catalonia is just going to get bonked in the noggin and cuffed and stuffed and, you know, ruled over, Alan?
Yeah, well, if they do happen to, air quotes, break free, I see they'll create a new constitution that has all kinds of loopholes in it, and the same process will start over again. This happens over and over. And I don't know why everyone, I know why it is, for convenience. Everyone always does it for convenience. Well, we'll have someone go and represent us instead of us being there to actually, you know, say what we want done and what we don't like. It gets too large, and you start having certain aspects of whatever society you're in go and represent you and your views, and then corruption and graft and greed and all the other crap always comes back in, and the same process starts over again. It's just I don't know how we're going to snap out of this. It's I'm not saying that I've got all the answers out there, folks. I know what's going wrong
to have
what
answers.
Can we do? I mean, until it happens, we don't know what to do.
But I just wanted to know if you, well, okay, so your answer is if Catalonia manages to separate from Spain, that they're going to have some verbiage or something that's going to entrap them and ensnare future generations and so forth. Texas, because when we talked earlier today, we talked about the whole fact that the U.S. is basically divided into two different parts. There's, and if you want to simplify it, you can do this left. The left side is defined as the people that want to give and take from everybody, and the right that just want to be left alone, right? So you got two different types of people out in the corporate United States of America, and this is, might be throughout the entire world, but we're going to focus on the corporate United States. Now, here in Texas, we have, like, the same people. I just want to be left alone, and the give and takers, right? You know, they're over here. It's going to break sooner or later where, you know, something's going to have to happen. And the give and takers are so busy giving for votes and giving stuff, they don't understand who they're taking from, that it just seems to frustrate the whole pot. And when that happens, let's say, the end of Donald Trump, you know, if he leaves office, gets impeached, you know, something else happens, that is going to stir Texas independence even more. But Susan, I've been watching Texas independence now for years. You know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And when Donald Trump got elected, Texas independence became less, less talked about, right? I won't say less popular, because from my understanding, more politicians, I hate to use that word, are growing friendlier to the idea of Texas independence than ever before. Did I miscategorize that, you know, if we're talking about today's corporate United States of America politicians?
No, not at all. And basically, it's just a lull. You know, Donald Trump is accepted because he's not Barack Obama. And, you know, he's not a conservative. He's done a handful, maybe, of conservative acts, but he's not a conservative by any means. You know, it's this conundrum. You know, folks vote for someone, in this case Trump, so even when he does something egregious, unconstitutional, power grab, be it executive order like he did with the bump stocks, they're okay with it because it's their guy. And so that means that they're worshiping a king. They're not steadfast in their principles and their ideas about, you know, a republic. And that's the problem. He can do no wrong. You know, the king has no clothes on, and no one tells him because it's their guy. Mm-hmm. It's their king.
Yeah, and you know what we're dealing with today in Venezuela is a very showing, very telling. You know, the Venezuelan people elected this guy named Maduro, and they are a socialist, you know, country, and isn't it communist? I don't know. How do you define those things? But anyways, he was elected, you know, as far as we know, and we should respect that, right? They elected Guido as well to serve in a different role, and Guido has, said that he's now president. And then there was a military coup, and somehow we have something to do with that. And I go, what? You know, why are we even bothering with that? You know, it doesn't seem like a republic to me, or that doesn't seem like a conservative or somebody that just wants to be left alone. It sounds like somebody that gives and takes.
Now the federal government is too involved in nation building and nation tearing down, you know, while you know, these United States just burn. And you know, I just saw a couple of days ago where some young man died in Syria. Well, we shouldn't even be there. I think he's dead, and for no reason. You know, when I die, I darn sure want it to be for a reason, and not because my government just decided we needed to go in and have things our way. Syria hasn't attacked us.
No,
there's no reason for occupation there.
No, I mean it's all insane, you know, to the point go ahead.
Well, there's and it's not talked about very often anymore. It used to be in the discussions, you know, all the time 10 years ago. But mutually assured destruction, and we also have mutually assured economic destruction. And, you know, that's why the federal government gets involved in it, along with all of the other power brokers, you know, be it Russia, you know, Britain. They're all on the same playing field. It's you know, it's a new world order agreement. That's what both of those are.
Yeah. You know, Europe was invaded, you know, via Syria years back, and I guess it's still constantly being used to invade, you know, the European countries who are going under, right? You know, you've got Sweden who, you know, the dichotomy surreal that so many years ago, Julian Assange, whoever the heck that is, right, you know, great oof guy, you know, WikiLeaks and all that. But Julian Assange was charged with rape in Sweden, and this rape charge came from having unprotected sex, voluntarily having sex with a woman, because in Sweden, you know, if two consenting adults had sex and they didn't use a condom, it's considered rape, right? So then he was, you know, actually charged with that. And I'm kind of like going, and the corporate media would sit there and talk about this, and they go, well, they're rape charges. And I'm like going, well, they kind of got together and had fun together, right? And then after the fact, the women go, well, he didn't use a condom. You know, it's like, and so they charged them. But now they've been invaded by all these, you know, people from Somalia, well, Africa, the Middle East. You know, they come into Sweden, and rape is a normal part of their culture, and so now it's a rape-friendly zone. And I'm going, wow, how did we change so far? Today, Susan, we're being invaded by South America, by, you know, I don't know who all these people are that are marching across. There are people that are instigating the invasion of the United States, and the corporate United States is being invaded by who the heck knows. And it's crazy, and we don't even care about it. Or, well, we do, I guess. I do. I'd like to stop it, but we can't. No, nobody wants to do it.
Well, you're up against, you know, big money and pure evil. George Soros, and it's just come out that the Pope, you know, who's embracing you know, Islam,
oh, yeah,
bowing down, you know, on their prayer rug, is funding, which means the Catholic Church is funding, you know, this invasion of Texas. And, you know, there's the music.
Hang on. Alan, hold those words. Susan, hang in there. Everybody, hang in. Quick commercial break coming up. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Alright, here we are, folks, back again. Cinco de Mayo, yay. No, not yay, it's just another day, but it's marketing day. But it is a good day because we got Susan Danzler on, you know, and she's going to be talking about, well, I don't know, what she's going to be talking about, the current state of the corporate state of Texas, I guess we'd have to call it, and you know, the work to try to achieve Texas independence and where all the crazy routes that they're driving this state right now, Susan. You were up there like several weeks ago when we initially tried to get you on the radio. You were up to like 4 o'clock in the morning.
No. I went to bed at about 4 or 5 minutes until 6 a.m.
Yeah, so it was like an all-night... Why was it such a long... What do you guys got a lot of stuff done. We're now free, huh?
Oh, yeah, oh. We're just totally free. You know, independence next week. No, it was... it's part of the shenanigans. You know, they... When you walk out your door and you look and you've got two vehicles to drive, you have to pick which one you really want to drive. Well, that's the party. You can either jump on in with the Democrat Party or you can jump in with the Republican Party because that's the only two vehicles that's available. Libertarian Party, you know, they've ruined themselves. So the vehicle that I chose to ride in or drive or whatever, I used to think I was driving it. Now I just think I'm riding in the back seat, probably in a booster seat, a child seat.
Yeah, but keep yelling at them. You know,
you got to keep yelling at him. And, you know, and someone posed a question, you know, several times in the last couple of weeks. Why do we have to keep going up there, you know, and babysitting these yahoos? They're childish. They lose their way. You know, they need a choke collar and a leash on them. You know, that's all I can think of. But what they do, the shenanigans that they play is, of course, they have hearings. Then they can suspend the rules and not give any notice. Or they can suspend the rules and only allow so many people to speak. Or a certain amount of time. The standard amount of time is usually 3 minutes. They can cut it down to two. They can cut it down to one. So what they do is they stack these hearings. They put the meaningful bills being heard at the end. They'll put all the garbage at the front. Then what they'll generally do is their floor session will end, you know, around 11:30 or so. They'll come into the hearing room. Well, that means there's, you know, a short period of time. Then they'll recess that for a break, lunch break. And then you sit around and, you know, eat something. You wait for them to come back and then they probably end up back on the floor again. So then you sit around some more and scratch your behind and you wait. I've waited 7 hours. And then the hearing reconvenes. So then they put all of this nonsense, unconstitutional bills, Democrat-led bills towards the front, and at the end of the hearing, they'll put the meaningful bills that's being heard that people are there to witness on, and it in this particular case it went on until almost 2:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's storming, so get in your vehicle, you drive home, hope you don't have to shoot somebody, you know, and walk in your house and go sleep on the sleeper sofa so that you don't wake your husband up.
It's getting old.
It was a 25-hour day. I figured out that those do exist.
Oh,
25-hour days.
What were the meaningful bills that you were babysitting? What were the meaningful bills?
Well, not on that particular night, but the previous week, there was actually two meaningful bills. One was simply state sovereignty, and and then there was another one along those lines about nullifying federal law in Texas. And, you know, they will not get, they get a very positive witness list, people coming in and testifying and why it should be this way in Texas, but it'll never get the light of day on the House or the Senate floor. Another one, a couple of other ones, and I didn't get to testify on this one, but ending the driver responsibility program in Texas did pass. It actually did pass. The House.
What does that mean?
On its way.
Driver responsibility.
Well, let's say you get pulled over, you know, for a minor speeding ticket, and you know, three or four, 5 miles over. Normally, it would be. You still there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
There's something weird happened, weird noise. So that little minor ticket, if you didn't have insurance, could bump up to, you know, $600 to $800. So it's that point system. And it's through DPS. And anyways, it looks like it's about to go. Possibly even red light cameras banned across the state. So it's minor. There's a few, but the biggest battle right now, and we can talk about this out on the next after the next break, is protecting Texas monuments and that's really beginning to heat up, and time is running out, though.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. We want to talk about that. What's going on with the toll roads? I'd like to, are we that close to a break, Susan? Because let me take a quick look. You know, no, we don't have, next break's 15 minutes away.
Okay. Toll roads. It's you know, slowly making some headway. You know, one of the bills that was filed, you know, this session was to do away with taxpayer lobbyists. Well, those yahoos aren't going to vote for that, so that one's kind of falling in between the cracks. And that this kind of ties into toll roads, because toll roads, unfortunately, are what is called and it's involved in public-private partnerships, PPPs. Well, that's when you pick winners and losers. And many times in these toll road projects, the government will get in, of Texas, will get in bed with a private entity. Not only that, to kind of stick the knife in and then twist it, it'll be some foreign company, not even a Texas company, that gets the opportunity to, you know, make money off of Texans driving
stick
down their own
us.
Roads.
Yeah. You get to stick
and then kickbacked
us.
Or paid back to the politicians who allow this to go on. Yeah, it's government contracting, basically. And, Susan, you said something a little bit earlier, you know, about the poop, you know, being involved in creating Chrislam, is what they're calling it, you know, merging them. You know, it's not just, you know, this guy who's the head of this, you know, giant, you know, Jesuit, you know, Catholic thing. It's all the way down into our little community here, Susan. You know that we have held the World Leadership Council here. The church that my great-grandfather was the first pastor at, you know, is now holding the World Leadership Council, which is basically trying to create the one-world religion. And
yeah.
So, you know, this is where that thing, kind of like talking about, you know, when you get hooked on it and everything you talk about is the Jews. They might be at the top of the power structure, and they might hold the money, which everyone wants and everything, you know, the purse strings. But that's not what most people see coming down and oppressing them at our level. You know, the good old boy who's going to come out and kick you off your property because you didn't pay your property taxes is not going to be, you know, Meyer Amschel Rothschild. You know, it's going to be one of your local good old boys who was involved in this. That's what we've got to get rid of, because if they don't have all their dang little operatives, the crap that they try to pull couldn't happen.
Well, and, you know, you brought it up, and, you know, I didn't want to discuss it because I'm not out here to begrudge, you know, different religions, but when they take their religion too far and use it as a power broker, and it's really, it does not become anything about, you know, personally, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it becomes about, golly, I don't even know how to put it into words. It's other than to say that it's they're power brokers, you know, cloaked in, you know, so-called, you know, religious.
And Susan, throughout time, yeah, the priest class.
I don't know how to put it in words, but here's the problem, Alan. You know, you and I have talked about this, you know, and who runs Gillespie County, and, you know, that's going to be, if you're not a Catholic, you know, good luck running for office here. If you're not a Mason, you know, good luck running for office here.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that it's, you know, really become a slap in the face that the exact same thing is duplicated at the State House. Greg Abbott's Catholic, Dennis Bonin's a Catholic. I don't think that Dan Patrick is. The fellow, this representative, Jeff Leach, he's offended. He's a Republican, but offended by a brass plaque. He's Catholic. And I haven't dug into it far enough to see, you know, how far down the ladder it goes. But it does start at the top, at the everyone calls it the Pink Dome. Well, I've got a friend in Lano that now calls it the Pink Puzzle Palace. That's my new word for it.
And that's one of those things, you know, throughout time, the priest class were the only ones who were even anywhere on par with the monarchies, you know, with the royalty. And they're the only ones that the royalty really had to fear, because the priest class did hold sway over a majority of the population. So, you know, there's always been that. Yeah, it's the power goes to their heads. You know,
unfortunately, what rises to the top
are people that we don't like.
Yeah, and we talked earlier about Trump, you know, and even if Trump does something that's just totally egregious, unconstitutional, leftist, if you will, it's still okay because it's their man. You know, when do the Catholics stand up and speak out and say, this man doesn't speak for us? This is not who we are, but they don't. There's silence. I mean, there's a handful. I know a few that detest the Pope and his ideology, but on the most part, there's silence.
Well,
and in my book, silence is consent.
Right, and the Catholic Church has a lot of consent. You know, they're invading our country. They're supporting invaders by giving money to support the invaders.
So the Lutheran Church.
The politicians, you know, down in corporate Texas at the Pink Poodle Palace, like you were saying, they're supporting the invaders, too. You know, I heard, which bill is it that they tried to tack on, you know, Medicaid for all illegal immigrants? You know,
Children. That's House Bill 888.
Yeah, 888, which is, you know, what was the main bill about? Is this just more of that shenanigans that's about fixing toasters, right? 888?
Well, it started out, as always, as a good bill, a solid bill, a bill that, you know, anyone who cares about Texas sovereignty, our borders, our identity, our culture, could support and should support. And through these shenanigans, a Democrat ended up being able to place an amendment on it that literally guarantees Medicaid to illegal alien children.
Okay.
It's always for the chillins. It's always for the chillins, at least the ones that they allow to be born, huh? The ones that they have out of the womb, they don't give a damn about.
If you don't vote for it, then you're racist and you hate children. And you know, I wouldn't
have
a problem.
What about all them
chillings
that get ripped out of the womb, though, Susan? You know, they don't give a damn about those
chillings,
do they?
No, they don't. And you can't even say that, right?
You can say that they don't care about children, but if you do, you're looked at like a kook. You go, well, they want to do post-birth abortion. They go, ah, you're crazy. Oh, no, it's just the fact.
No.
And it's a fact.
And that's why I could never be there. If there was a debate on the floor about, you know, giving, you know, to illegal children, I'd stand up in a heartbeat and, you know, make a motion, and then I'd get up and excoriate those Democrats. You know, don't feign love and compassion for children when you're in favor of ripping them from the womb. And if it was a botched abortion and the child, by, you know, the grace of God, ends up getting born anyways, you're in favor of just sticking it in the corner in a plastic tub until it dies.
How?
Loving. That's very loving.
That hurts.
It's evil. It's just evil. But, you know, we need to talk about Texas independence.
I like that a lot better. You know, it's like, you know, but, okay, on that note, you guys, the Texas Nationals, right, and I'll just say you guys because you work with them and you work to support them, and I know they've been doing a lot of stuff throughout the years, seem to keep getting bigger and bigger and more influence, and I don't know. What do you attribute that to? Are they just blowing smoke up your behind trying to because you have a bunch of people engaged and you can rock the boat when you need to?
It's the way that this organization presents itself and the way that it promotes legislation. You know, until Texas is independent, Texas nationalist movement will still stay engaged in even the local races, local issues, and of course at state level. And you know, they will write bills, you know, they will write resolutions. You know, we've had the independence referendum go from, you know, the precinct level to the county level to the convention floor. And it's, of course, at that level it becomes contentious, and the establishment does everything that it can to silence people and shut people down. But three conventions ago, I was there, and that independence referendum passed resoundingly, and the chairman, the Republican Party chairman, said, "Oh no, the nays have it." Well, enough noise was created that we attempted to get, you know, a roll call vote. He wouldn't go there, and so they do, like, you know, by voice. Okay, it was loud, the yays. Then it was like raising hands. They won. Then the next one is, okay, stand. And even when it won on each one of those tiers, the chairman of the Republican Party said that the nays had it. There is a growing desire for Texas independence. People are paying attention. But we do have a left-leaning media that won't put it out there. So you just got to, and then social media shutting down anything positive. It's, you know, in Texas, with the population, we're looking at around 800,000 members and supporters to kick this ball just a little bit further down the road. And we're just a gnat's hair away from 390,000 members and supporters.
Yeah, and that can make some noise when the people actually care about it. How many of the, yeah, I guess it's hard to say.
You know, what are they so afraid of? This referendum is not, would not mean instant, Texas is independent. What it means is that this referendum simply puts it on the ballot across the state, okay, so that people can vote, yes, I'm in favor of independence, no, I'm not in favor of independence. That's all it is. So if you watch the other hand, Stephen, you can tell they're afraid, because they know they're going to find out that the majority of Texans want independence.
And they would be the only ones
that
know.
Why else would you shut it down?
Because the results that they would put out to the public would be, even if it was 90% for independence and 10% against, they would put it out, well, it was a close one, folks. It was, 52%, against independence and 48% for, but, we're close. And if we just get the right guy in there, then we'll have it made, even though the election process, it's caca.
Well, I don't know. I still think that the wind's going to change, man. You know, the wind's going to change. This world that we live in right now, this those butterflies and, what are perfume farts, it's not sustainable. The corporate United
States
is
overspread. Until we get rid of that damn Obi-Wan Kenobi that stands up there in front of the people and waves his arm all the time and says, these are not the droids you're looking for. Until we get rid of that damn Obi-Wan Kenobi, ain't nothing going to change.
Well, that person's going to go away, but so is a lot of other things, at least in my impression. The world cannot stay the way it is. It hasn't stayed the way it is. Back in the 50s, you could buy a house having a minimum wage job. Today, you can earn, $15, $20 an hour, and minimum wage is, what, $8? And you have no hope in buying a house. There's none, right? $20, $25 an hour, buy a house. Ah, that's funny, right? You know, and so this is being forced upon our kids today. And they've seen the futility of their future. And they're doing all sorts of stupid things. Some of them are hiding. Some of them are getting mad. Well, are they going to acquiesce? Alan, are they going to shut down all forms of communication? Because they seem to be doing that right now. Well, I don't know. I'm still, the whole fact is when they start bringing the hammer down, that's when Texas Independence gets a plus one amplifier, plus two, plus 10, plus 100, and it'll come from the guy next door. I do interface with people, and I'm really, whenever these kind of things go down, people come up and said, well, Texas Independence, huh? What do you think about that? Because they know I talk about that, you know, and I go, well, why are you so interested? Oh, did you hear about this and that and whatever? I said, yeah. And your point is what?
See, you know, unfortunately, Steve, I see most of the people. If the information streams went down, if they were taken down, I can see them being upset because they couldn't get on Facebook and say what kind of a hamburger they had for lunch today. That's unfortunately, that's about as deep as most people go.
Yeah, and then they're going to wonder how they can get a hamburger and what went wrong.
We'll get Texas Independence when they can't afford that that hamburger. You know, I'm trying to remember the percentage of increase in income. It's well over
600%. That's why they have their EBT card.
But if you took the federal government, the taxes and regulations out of play in Texas, folks could see a 600% increase in their income. Well, you know, how do you get that message out there? You know, it's and then you've got a state like Texas, Greg Abbott, who is just addicted to federal handouts. You know, to the carrot string and the carrot on the string, and you know, they talk about, you know, red flag laws here. And, you know, that one irritates me. You know, I can be sitting and talking to someone who's a Republican or a Tea Party person, and I can tell them the truth about Greg Abbott, and their mouth falls open, and they're just like, I can't believe it. And I said, well, then you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they become awake to a point that they're comfortable with, and that's it. And those are almost our worst enemies, those people who become aware what's going on to a point they're comfortable with, and then they say, that's it, I'm not going any further. They close their mind off again.
But then Greg Abbott sends out his little thing to get his little donations when he's running again. It's a little yellow oval that makes you think of the Gadsden flag, and it says Abbott on it, and it says, don't tread on me. Well, he must be a good guy. I'm going to vote for him because of this bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm. Old Ironside. Ooh. Have a good day, guys. Republic of Texas Radio. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
The tree of life is us, my friends.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.